Recorded Books presents Empty Theater by Jack Gems, narrated by Jefferson Mays. Empty Theater, or The Lives of King Ludwig II of Bavaria and Empress Sissi of Austria, Queen of Hungary, cousins, in their pursuit of connection and beauty, despite the expectations placed on them because of the exceptional good fortune of their status as beloved national figures, with speculation into the mysterious nature of their deaths. For Judy. The Sehnsucht motif, a lonely, wandering voice in the night, softly uttered its tremulous question. Silence followed, a silence of waiting, and then the answer. The same hesitant, lonely strain, but higher in pitch, more radiant and tender. Silence again. Thomas Mann, Tristan. As long as I have a want, I have a reason for living. Satisfaction is death. George Bernard Shaw. Overruled. Prologue. An Omen. 40 years from now, Ludwig II will be murdered. By himself, or by the doctor who had declared his mind unsound, or by an assassin hired by disgruntled statesmen, or by fear and ambition, his own or that of others, or by the gentle, nudging tide of the Wormsee, or by some symphony of these, or by none of them. His body will be found, drowned in the shallow of the reeds, his doctor floating a few feet away, his jacket turned inside out on dry land, missing a bullet hole's worth of fabric, or not. His cousin, Empress Sissi of Austria, waiting across the lake, will think she hears a cry and pace the shores, wondering if her kindred could possibly be strong enough to swim all that way. But before that, because the story will unfold no differently if you learn the outcome now or later, because the ending will confound you no matter where it finds you, because if you combine enough answers, they don't look much different than a question. It is best if you know now. Before Ludwig II is found dead, he will live with such a violence of feeling that his body will shake when he witnesses extreme beauty. When, on stage, Elsa makes the mistake of asking the Knight of the Swan his true nature and learns that he is, in fact, Lohengrin, protector of the Grail, Ludwig's sensitivity will force him from his box seat to throw up in a bucket positioned just out of view of the audience. Ludwig will invert his fortune by paying for operas he cannot afford. He will call for castle after castle to be built, never finishing a single one, his vision always outpacing the material world. Ludwig will row out to a small, secluded island and snag his way through rose bushes, Alpenfees and Eurydices and Gretels, the names of which he prefers cupping in his mouth to lacing their sweet perfumes through his nose, tucking himself into their sturdy leaves and buxom blossoms, trying to escape bad news. But it will find him again and again. After all of this, Ludwig's cabinet of ministers, frustrated, maybe even convinced they are in the right, would declare him mad. They'll make a list of his indiscretions, and read it so many times they'll lose track of which items are bolstered by evidence, and which will crumple under the slightest stress, like a plaster model never replaced by its marble heir. Rightfully, wrongfully, they will pay a doctor to guarantee Ludwig's lack of sanity without having met him. And they will depose him and lock
Sample complete. Ready to continue?